Welcome back to the Daily International OU Tehillim and Physics phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. I hope you had a wonderful Shabbos and you're having a great weekend. Thank you so much for joining today's call on Yom Rishon, the third day of the month of Elul. Thank you to our wonderful and generous sponsors, in particular the Schwartz family, for their generosity and continued support, and whose names are prominently listed in the daily OU Tehillim email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. Your generosity and support are greatly appreciated and enable us to continue to provide these meaningful daily calls. Please be advised that the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's email is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to introduce Rabbi Eliezer Wolf, Mora d'Asra of Beit David Highland Lakes Shul in Miami, Florida, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be followed by Rabbi Wolf slowly reciting our daily four chapters of Tehillim, Parak Chaf, Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 20, 23, 121, and 130. There's a link for those in the email, and it will be followed by the Mishaberach Lecholim and Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Wolf to learn more about his wonderful community. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker, Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Wolf.
Thank you, Reb Naftali, for this chus, for this honor. Thank you to everybody who participates in this, to daven and to study for Klal Yisrael and for everybody around the world. So it's very, very strange. Whenever Hashem, the Torah, asks us to do a mitzvah, it asks us to do it in the most beautiful way. Make every effort possible. When you're buying a lulav and a throg, you're buying a shofar, tefillin, your Shabbat candles, your Shabbat meal, always put in every effort to make it as beautiful as possible. However, the mitzvah of shofar seems to be a little different. And we've begun to blow shofar now in the month of Elul. And the Torah tells us not to take any fancy trumpet or horn to make the most beautiful of sounds. The Torah tells us to take a simple, basic, primitive instrument, the horn of an animal. Why is that? Now, interestingly, the sound of the shofar is a very simple sound. And the reason for that is so that everyone listening to the shofar can interpret the message in their way. Whenever the shofar is sounded, it's telling you, at that very present moment, a message that you need to hear, that you need for that moment. There is a debate in the Talmud about the kind of shofar we should use. One opinion of the Mishnah says we should be using a straight shofar from the horn of a mountain goat. Not curved at all, just straight. But Rabbi Levi disagrees, and he says we should actually be using a curved shofar that's like a ram's horn. What's the difference between a straight shofar and a curved shofar? So the opinion of the straight shofar is because when we pray on Rosh Hashanah, turning to God, we should pray and try to direct a straight mind, a straight heart to Hashem. Rabbi Levi disagrees. He says, actually, we're trying to bend our mind and bend our heart and our neshama, our soul, to Hashem, and therefore we use the curved shofar. The law is, as ruled in Shulchan Aruch, that we're supposed to make every effort. It is preferred to use the bent, curved shofar. The difference between the straight and the shofar is what? So some Hasidic masters explain, the straight shofar is representative of the life of the tzaddik, the holy, righteous person. Life is more simple, without distractions, without temptations, without any dark backgrounds, and they go with the flow on their smooth journey towards their destiny, towards connecting with Hashem. But the curved shofar represents the Baal Teshuvah paradigm, somebody whose life is twisting and turning up and down, filled with all kinds of distractions, all kinds of challenges, always having to battle and to overcome. And it's those twists and turns that we hear in the shofar that help us go on our journey towards Hashem. I think this year, in the situation that we're in, there's an even more powerful message in the sound of the curved shofar. Because as of 6 months ago, we've all been bent out of shape. The whole world has been bent out of shape. Everything that we planned, we thought we knew how to go into the high holidays every year. We have our customs, our minhagim, our schedule, our routines in the synagogue, in the shul, in our homes, the guests. We had it all down pat for many, many years. Suddenly, it's all looking very different. And it's making us uneasy, nervous, and uncertain, and possibly anxious. And that is true, and that is valid. It's not an easy time. But the message that the Torah tells us to blow the curved shofar is, learn how to twist and turn. Learn how to ride those waves and welcome those bumps in your life. Of course, they're designed by Hashem. That's the life Hashem has given you. And so I've been spending a few weeks in the summer here in South Dakota, actually. I'm from Miami. I was staying with a friend here. It's a little more COVID safe, and we've had the opportunity to spend some time here. One thing I noticed, whenever you're traveling up the mountains, we don't get these mountains in Miami, but you're riding up the very tall mountains, the road never goes straight up a mountain. The road always turns and loops around the mountain, slowly and slowly getting higher and higher. That's the way you climb a mountain. You cannot take the straight route. Almost nobody can. It's much more difficult. But if you learn to appreciate that bent, curved road, that's the way of our life goes, that we hang in there, hold on to our wits and our confidence and our faith in Hashem, that's the journey Hashem is giving us this year, more bent out of shape than ever. I'll conclude with a small story. Somebody was once complaining to Hashem, how many tzaddas, how many difficulties, how many challenges. He can't put up with it anymore. He can't take it anymore. Hashem said, no problem. I'll take you to heaven, and I'll show you from a bird's eye view the lives of everybody. You can see this person and that person, all the people you think are more successful, more fortunate than you are. And I'll let you choose any life you want to have. And he went up to heaven and he looked down and he sees his neighbor's life, the neighbor with the fancy home and the fancy car, and the friend across the street with a very successful business. But he looks into their lives and he sees what's really going on in every single person's life. And he sees there's nothing that's gold and smooth like he thought it was. And when Hashem offered him, which life would you like? He says, Hashem, I want my life back. I'm thankful for the peckle, for the package you gave me. It's designed just for me. That's a very important lesson. I blow the shofar now, preparing for Rosh Hashanah. On that note, let us all say Tehillim together and pray for those that need Rifuah Shleima, those that need God's protection, and all the blessings that we all need at this time. We'll begin with chapter 20 in Tehillim. Lam Natseyach Mizmor LeDavid Yancha Adonai B'yom Tzara Yisakev Hashem Elohe Yaakov Yishlach Ezrecha Mikodesh Umitzi Tzadeka Yizker Kol Min Chosecha Ve'od Lecha Yidash Nesela Yitin Lecha Chibavecha Chalatos Chayim Alei Yeranu Nabi Shubetecha Ubeshem Eloheinu Nizgol Yimal Adinoi Kol Mishal Yistecha Ata Yodati Ki Yeshu Adonai Mishichoi Yane Omish Mekoshoi Bikvoroi Eisha Yiminoi Elev Orecheb Ve'elev Asusim Ba'anachnu B'Shem Adinoi Eloheinu Nazkir Heima Koru V'Nachvalu Ba'anachnu Kamnu V'Nizdoidad Adinoi Heishiya HaMelech Yaneinu L'Yoyim Toreinu Perek Chav Gimel, Chapter 23. Mizmor LeDavid, Adonai Ra'i Lo Yechzor, V'Noyz Deshe Yarbitzini, Amen V'Nuchot V'Nahaleini, Nafshi Yishoyvev, Yancheini V'Magli Tzedek, L'Man Shemoy, Kam Ki Yelech Degeis Amoveth, Lo Yirara, Ki Ata Imadi, Shivdecha U'Mishantecha, Heimo Yinachamuni, Tarech lefonai shulchan neged tzarerai Dishanto v'ashem en roishi koisi revaya Ach toi v'vachesed yirfuni kol yimei chayoi V'shavti b'veis adinoi L'yorech yomim Perek Kuf Chav Aleph, Chapter 121 Shilam alois Esoin ayele harim Meyayin yavoi ezri Ezri meyim adinoi Oisei shamayim v'aret Al yitein lamoiz reglecha Al yanum shemrecha Hinei lo yanum v'lo yishan Shemer Yisrael Adinoi shemrecha Adonai Tzilcha al yad yeminecha. Kemam HaShemesh lo yakeka v'yareyach b'loyla. Adonai Yishmarcha mikol ra, Yishmar es nafshecha. Adonai Yishmar tzeicha l'vayecha. Ve'yata v'yad oylam. Perek Kuf Amit, chapter 130. Shiramalois mi mamakim kerasicho adinoi adinoi shima vekoili tihiyena waznecho kashuvois lekoil tachanonoi im avinoi tishmaya adinoi miyamoide ki imecho asilicho leman tivarei kivisi adinoi kipto nafshi velidvarei hecholtim Nafshi ladinoi mishomrim laboiker, shomrim laboiker. Yachel Yisrael ladinoi, ki im adinoi achesed v'harbei imoi fedus. V'hu yivdes Yisrael, mishomrim laboiker. I'm not going to make a mishaberach prayer, a prayer for the welfare and for the health of everyone that needs our prayers. When we get up to the point where we include names of those we want to pray for, I'll pause and please include all the names of those you wish to pray for. Mishaberach Avotenu, Abraham, Yitzchak, V'Yakov, Moshe, V'Aharon, David, V'Shlomo, Hu Yivarech, V'Hu Yirapei, Es HaCholin, V'HaCholoi. Ba'avur, shenedim l'tzpaka ba'avuram, u'mispalilim ba'avuram. Bizchar zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, imali rachamim aleihem, lachlima mulirapoysam, ulachazikam, ulachayoysam. Bishlach lahem emeheira, l'fuwa shelema, min ha'shamayim, b'chol ramach everihim, v'shefagidihim, v'soif sh'ach v'le Yisrael, r'fuwas ha'nefesh, r'fuwas ha'guf, v'noymar, amen. Ahayenu kol beis Yisrael. Ahayenu kol beis Yisrael. Hanesunim v'tzavona v'tzarau v'shivya. Oim dim bein bayam uvein bayaboshu. Amakoyim yirachem. Yidachem aleihem v'yoytziyem mitzavavaram li'hirevav v'yim v'yafel al yoveram u'mishibud l'geyulam hashtam v'apohla u'vizman kariv.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Wolf. As we transition into the next segment of our call, how are you, your family, and community doing?
Naftali, Baruch Hashem, I and my family are grateful. We are healthy and well and trying to take care of ourselves. And we have mostly good news in our community as well. Everyone, most people are faring well. It's obviously been very different in the past few months, but we're hanging in there. The older ones, the younger ones, we're trying to keep connected with each other in creative ways, so it's forcing us to bring out the best in everybody. And, you know, grateful every single day. The Mode Ani in the morning that we say nowadays, thanking Hashem, is very different than it was several months ago. So that's, we bless Hashem and thank Him for those opportunities that we have.
Fabulous. No, thank God, and it's a great perspective to have. So let's get started. For our listeners who might not be as familiar with your community, I think most people know about Miami, or that might be more Miami Beach, the 41st Street, but for perhaps give us a little bit more information about Highland Lakes, where exactly that is, if you could give us an overview of the shul and the community as well.
Okay, so I am born and raised in Melbourne, Australia. All my grandparents, Holocaust survivors, moved there after the war. My wife is from Brooklyn, New York, so we met there. We got married and lived there for a number of years. I was learning and teaching. And then about 9-10 years ago, we moved to Highland Lakes to serve as the leader, the rabbi in the community there. Highland Lakes is one of the residential neighborhoods, together with Sky Lake and a number of other residential neighborhoods, at the northernmost point of Miami-Dade County. It's just west of Aventura, which might be a name that people are more familiar with. So it's North Miami, part of the larger Miami-Dade County. It's an area that is very dense and populated with many, many Jewish people, all kinds of Jewish people, especially in the last 10, 15, 20 years. A lot of South American Jews have made aliyah, if that's the wrong word to use, but they've come to a safer place in Miami. So Spanish is definitely a much more common language there, as with English, although my wife has picked up a great Spanish, but I have not, unfortunately, yet. Our community, many, many families, I would say young to middle-aged. That's our community, many, many children. We have a core group of, you know, from Shomer Shabbat families, many, many others joining us on Shabbat, on festivals, on high holidays, all different kinds of occasions. So we have a very widespread. We are servicing many kinds. Our programming, our events, our shiurim, trying to service many people, and our doors are always open. So anyone that wishes to find a place to connect, to learn, to grow, to be part of a really wonderful, friendly, welcoming, open community, we're always there for them. And thank God it's been a great journey here in Highland Lakes.
Amazing. And I can personally attest, having spent some time with you in the shul and in the community as well. However, Rabbi Wolf, you are currently not in Highland Lake at the moment. I announced in a little bit of a teaser at the end of our call on Friday, and announcing that you would be on today, I shared that you are actually in South Dakota. Can you share a little bit with us, how long have you been there, and what is Jewish life like in South Dakota?
Okay, great question. So a few weeks ago, we came to South Dakota together with a friend from the community who rented a home here. A number of reasons led up to that decision, and certainly a lot of our on-site programming in the synagogue were not operating there anymore. We were very virtual. We have a lot of virtual classes, programs all the time, which we're continuing here from South Dakota. Yes, we have internet and phones and computers here as well. We came to South Dakota, and the first thing that struck me was often we get caught up living in the bubbles of the big cities, New York, Miami, California, wherever, and we forget about what a beautiful, beautiful America we have, a beautiful world that Hashem created for us. So it's a very large state with about 900,000 people in total. So the population is very small, relatively, which has also helped why it fared very, very well in terms of COVID-19. The terrain is gorgeous, the prairies, the hills, the mountains, the Black Hills, the Badlands, the horses, the cows, the buffalo, and many other wildlife. The air is very fresh. It's a very beautiful quality of life, and definitely the cost of living here is much, much cheaper than in big cities. What is Jewish life
how
here?
How long does it take you to drive from the mailbox on the street to the house?
So we're staying in a large property, about 200 acres. So to get out of the property on a dirt road is a good 5 to 10 minute drive, which makes keeps us away from many, many people. Jewish life here. So in Sioux Falls, which is on the east coast of South Dakota, there is an established Jewish community. A Chabad rabbi moved there a few years ago and has built quite a community. I think he's trying to work on a mikveh now, and there's a lot of families he's in touch with. We are on the far west coast, the other side of the state. It's a five-hour drive away near the big city of Rapid City, and we're staying about 45 minutes from there in a city called Spearfish. Rapid City, I don't know, has too much established Jewish life. There may have been a non-Orthodox synagogue many years ago that was established, but from my experience, I've been to parks and a lot of outdoor activities, and I've met just by chance quite a few Jewish people. Especially a lot of Jewish people who have, you know, hello, how are you? And someone told me, oh, my mother is Jewish, though I'm not Jewish. So that's how I've discovered a lot of Jewish people as well. So we're actually talking about the need, possibly even during the summer, there's a lot of tourism here. Mount Rushmore is here. There's a very famous motorbike parade in Sturgis every year where Just this past week, there were 250,000 people there. I've heard a lot of Israelis go there as well. So I think there's a need possibly to set up some kind of outreach effort in the summer here, just to connect a lot of the Jewish people, locals or tourists, and to offer Jewish services, kosher food, and other opportunities. Of course, this year much more challenging, but I'm thinking in the future years, there's an opportunity for that. And in the many small towns around here, I'm sure there are more Jewish people who are not really on the grid. And it would be great to be able to find them and help them and connect them. So it's been a really nice experience. We're going back to Miami tomorrow. And, I mean, I've been back and forth personally, but my family's been here. And we'll see. We have a lot to prepare for the high holidays. And we're looking forward to getting back to some kind of normal routine life.
Right. Yeah, I'm curious. As Jews, it's funny, very frequently, people will go and they'll take a cruise and they think putting on the Yankee cap, suddenly you blend in. But, there's a reality, I have a funny story. A friend of mine, years ago for his honeymoon, they went on a cruise and, it wasn't one of these kosher cruises. He really just wanted to, spend some time with his new bride and really not be around other people. And he said they were on the ship maybe 5 minutes when, he's wearing, I think it was the Baltimore Orioles cap, when someone tapped him on the shoulder and said, Mincha. So, but I'm wondering, what has the experience been like for you in South Dakota? You mentioned you have, encountered some Jewish people, people who didn't realize they were Jewish. But perhaps interacting with the general population there, have they been friendly? Is there curiosity what it's like to encounter an Orthodox Jew? What has that been like?
Okay, so great question. This happens very often. I'm walking with my 5 children. I have 4 boys, Kanina Hara, and a beautiful girl. And the boys have their kippahs and they're wearing the tzitzit out. And you walk into a store, a gas station, or in a park, wherever, and right away, everybody's turning around because these strangers seem to have landed from a different planet. And, of course, all eyes and eyebrows are raised. But this is Middle America, and we've found people here to be very friendly, very respectful, and very curious. Now, a lot of people here are very religious, and they just want to know and learn. We just had yesterday we were going for a walk. We managed to encounter some neighbors, and we stopped for like an hour. They had so many questions about the Old Testament and Jewish faith, and they wanted to know, so how is Judaism different than Mormonism? So that was like the kind of question we got. So that's the level of very little background knowledge over here, because there's no familiarity with Jewish people and Jewish faith. But we've had an opportunity to have many conversations, and I hope that we've had an opportunity to make a big Kiddush Hashem wherever we've went. And we're very mindful of that, and I tell my children about that all the time. Remember, we're setting examples. Some people are going to meet a Jewish person for the first time and maybe the last time in their life. So that's been an opportunity and some kind of role that we've played as we roam around the state over here. So that's really been the answer of, I will say I encountered one negative situation. I don't know what upset the person, but, he got a little rough and swearing at us. I don't know if it's because of Jewish or not Jewish. I'm not sure. But overall,
he might have just been having a bad day, but it might have nothing to do with being Jewish.
Yeah.
But, you know what? Right. What a kiddush Hashem. What an opportunity, and also to mechanef your children and to educate them in that way of, really wherever we go, the impact we have on those around us. But also I think, and I imagine for everyone who's listening, with everything that's been going on the last few months, across the country, it's very reassuring to hear that in an area that typically does not encounter, Orthodox Jews, and parenthetically, you mentioned on the other side, on the eastern side, the Chabad rabbi who moved there recently a few years ago, I'm pretty sure that was the last state. We now, all 50 states in the United States now have, a Chabad representation, but up until that point, South Dakota did not. But it's certainly reassuring, to hear that people have been respectful, and really, warm and welcoming. I just want to get to our last question, because we're at the end here, but you alluded a little before, just heading back to Miami tomorrow in preparation for the high holidays. So what is the plan for your shul? Will you be having minyanim indoors or outdoors? What about shofar blowing? And what are you going to be doing for those who can't make it to shul itself but will be davening at home?
Okay, so I can tell you what the plans are as of today. I cannot tell you what's actually going to happen. And that's been the life that we're all living. We sent out a survey and we got a lot of data coming back from the community, where they're holding, what they're thinking. And as of now, we've set up numerous levels of programming. We're going to have a full-length prayer service that some people are interested in coming to. Of course, all our services indoors will be with masks, seats separated apart, each seat, and all those kinds of important precautions that we're taking. We're also offering another kind of service, like an hour program, and we're having several shifts of them throughout the day. People can come for an hour to daven, to pray, to learn, to hear the shofar, etc. And many more people are more comfortable with that than coming for a full-length service. Some of these services will be open to children as well, a kids program that will be hosted off-site, and some of them will not be open to children and only open to adults. We're also having an outdoor shofar blowing service in the local park, where a lot of people from our community, but in the general community who are not even connected with the synagogue, will come and have the chance for 20 minutes or so to sing a song and hear the shofar, which is such a beautiful, special mix from Rosh Hashanah. We're also sending out a mailing package to the community that's going to have a number of guides and information, materials, and a game for the holidays, and actually a special, it's a bit of a surprise that maybe I can release it. It's a USB clip that we've got in our cantor, who we normally bring in from Israel, with the Olman. He's prepared for us a lot of tracks of the holiday songs that we're normally singing together. Everyone's going to receive that in the mail. And that's going to really be a way to, I mean, I was listening to the audio recordings that he's sending to me, and I'm just driving on the road or in my home, and I'm already breaking down crying just for the emotions that it stirs up in you. So that's a very exciting project. We're trying to help people, empower people, equip them with as much as possible, whether it's they're going to be on their own with their loved ones, or whether they're going to be have a chance to join us in the show, and the crowds will be less than normal. We want to give everybody a chance to really experience a Rosh Hashanah, a Yom Kippur, a holiday in the best possible way during these times, and we're working hard to try to facilitate that.
Amazing. Really, sounds incredible. Rabbi Wolf, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us really with a beautiful picture of your wonderful community, and a bonus for us to have an opportunity to learn a little bit more about South Dakota as well. As they are with all of Klal Yisrael and of the entire world, our thoughts and our tefillot, our prayers are with you and your community. And we'll add in South Dakota as well for continued bracha, success, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and refuah for all of those in need will be answered l'tova. And may the Rabbonish Olam, the master of the world, speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow, Monday, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, for words of inspiration from Rabbi Sam Reinstein of Congregation Kol Israel in Brooklyn, New York. I may be wrong about this, but this might be our first visiting rabbi on our call for a shul in Brooklyn, which is shocking considering it's been almost 6 months. And there is a lot of shuls in Brooklyn, so looking forward to going down that road as well. This concludes today's call. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.